1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, the Bible says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Now, we cannot miss God's intention and what he has inspired Paul to write for us. He wants us to know him intimately. He wants us to know his heart. He wants us to know his expectations for us. He knows that we are his creation, and he expects that we will honor him as his creation. God has given us his word, his commandments, and he expects that we will follow them. That's pretty simple. He expects that we will follow them. In return, he has made us a promise. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Amen. Being his people means being with him today, tomorrow, and forever. It's an awesome promise. It really is. A promise that should give us hope for the everyday. Should give us hope for the everyday. You know, you had a tough day around the house. Never you mind that. Because you are, we are, God's people today and forever. Don't worry about it. You have a tough day at work. You know, the car broke down. Bills not yet paid. Never you mind all of that. We are God's people today and forever. And that should give us hope. That should give us hope. And God wants us to walk in his ways. The Bible describes us as God's husbandry. That's what he inspired Paul to write. And what he meant there, I believe, is that we are his field. He tilled it, he planted it, he watered it, he grew it. Amen. And he did all of that so that we might one day come to recognize him as God and serve him. Amen. Now, for the believers, and that's those who have confessed that the God of the Bible is Jesus Christ, God is calling for us to grow stronger in what we know of him. Grow stronger in what we know of him. He wants us to dig deep in his word and get stronger in our faith. And Paul recognized that it was according to the grace of God, which was given to him, that he was able to preach the gospel and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Guess what? God has given to each one of us that same grace. He's given to each one of us that same grace because he has helped us to know him. And now he says, you can use what you know to bless others. Paul called himself a wise master builder. Wise because he laid the foundation that was given to him. That foundation being Jesus Christ. He warns us. He warns us that no other foundation could be laid. No other foundation that could bring about the eternal life promised to us by Jesus Christ. Except that it be built upon Jesus Christ himself. He describes the believer as a temple. And this temple was built on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And every building built on that foundation houses the Spirit of God. He dwells in us. He calls us a temple. Because the Spirit of God dwells in us because of our faith. Now, Paul says in short, don't mess with God's temple. Don't mess with it. I mean, if I could summarize all of it that way. Don't mess with God's temple. Don't mess with it. He writes, if any man defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. That's God's expectation. Which temple? You are. So he's telling us that we must protect the temple of God. We must protect the temple of God. Last week we studied it this way. Defile the temple and suffer regrets. He says that's point blank how it goes. But I think that God repeats this to us again so that we might make a choice. And the choice is this, guys. Follow me or don't follow me. I think that's how loving God is. He gives us that choice. You either follow me or you don't follow me.
Amen.
You get to make up your mind. Amen. You get to make up your mind. But don't pretend to follow me, for there will be consequences for that. That's an unholy temple.
Amen.
That's an unholy temple. So our text for today really shines more light on this concept, that the temple of God is holy. We are the temple of God. And the temple of God must always trust in God without question. And not in him or herself. The temple of God must protect itself from deception. And two ways to do that, and those two ways happen to be my points for the message today. The first one is this, don't trust in yourself.
Amen.
And the second one is don't trust in the world.
Amen.
You know, I toyed with the points being don't trust in yourself and don't trust in me. So as to drive you back to the Word of God. Because I think that's what really God wants us to do. He says we have to feed ourselves on the Word of God. So he wants us all to be digging and eating and supping on the Word of God. So don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in the world. Let's get started with don't trust in you. Verse 18, he says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Let no man deceive himself. Don't become wise in your own eyes and come to believe that you can trust in you more than you can trust in God. You know, so many people get messed up because they get so holy that they can somehow believe that they can trust in themselves. Me and God, we got an arrangement because, you know, God and I, we've had a conversation. So that means now I can stray away from the Word of God because me and God, we're tight on other things. You know, that's the impression that people give you. You ever talk to anybody like that? I have. They give you the impression that it's okay for them to walk outside of the pathway of God because they have gotten so holy that they got a little holiness in reserve. Well, God doesn't tell us anything like that. He says, we cannot trust in ourselves. Not ever. Not ever. He says, let no man deceive himself. Now he's if we go back to the Bible and we read about deception, we will know a couple things. We know that our enemy, the devil, he's out there. He's roaming. He's seeking whom he can devour. That means he is looking for those that he can deceive. Now, he tells us in the last days there will become rumors of wars and deceivers and all these things are going to happen. But here he tells us we need to be careful that we are protecting ourselves, that we are protecting the temple of God, that we make sure that we don't get so holy that we're good for nothing.
Amen.
That we don't get so holy that we're good for nothing.
Amen.
That we forget that we are not the root. But we are a branch off of the vine.
Amen.
Now that's what God is telling us here. That's what God is telling us. Don't get so wise in your own eyes. Don't come to believe that you can trust in yourself more than you can trust in God. Don't become so wise in your own eyes that you believe that your ways are higher than the ways of God. You know, that theory has already been tested. And it failed. I mean, that theory has already been tested and it has failed. God said he gave us his word for an example. So let's look at how some thought they could trust in themselves and how they failed. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 10 to your right. Page 846 in your pew Bible. Some tried it. They thought they could trust in themselves. They saw the power of God. They lived in the power of God. They benefited from the power of God. And then they got to the point where they said, who needs God when you got yourself? When I'm as good as I am, why do I need God? Is in essence what they said. So 1 Corinthians 10, God gives an example so that we might not trust in ourselves. He says in verse number 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. And we talked about this. You know, when God manifested himself in the Old Testament, who do you think that he was? He was Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so the Bible's telling us here, he says, all of these people who were in the wilderness, they got an opportunity to glimpse at Jesus Christ, at the presence of God in their lives. But what did they do? He says, all of our fathers were under the cloud. They were all led by that pillar of cloud in the daytime and that pillar of fire at night. He says, and all passed through the sea. They all went through, saw God miraculously open the waters. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All did eat the same spiritual meat. All did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So they were there. They saw the water come out of the rock. That was Jesus Christ supplying for his people. He says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. What happened to them? He says, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. That's what happened to them. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They forgot about God. They didn't need him anymore. He says, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000, because they thought they did not need to be governed by God anymore, because God had already proven to them that they were his people. They could do whatever they wanted to do. He says, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they were written for our admonition. In other words, written for our warning. They were written to call our attention to the fact that that theory was tried and it did not work.
Amen.
Don't trust in yourself, he said. He says, it was written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He says, don't put any trust in yourself, because you can't even depend upon yourself. He says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. In short, don't depend on yourself. Trust in God. You know what? If you trust in God, he says, you might get yourself in a pickle, but I'm so trustworthy that I'll show you how to get out of it. Let no man deceive you. Don't deceive yourself. There is but one way. That way is Christ. Our text says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Now, you know, whenever we hear about fools, it doesn't give us a good impression, doesn't give us a good picture. But what the Bible's telling us here is that if anyone seems to get caught up in the world, then let him become a fool. Let him recognize how he is straying away from God, and let him become wise in the gospel of Christ. That's what the Bible's telling us here. Let him be a witness to the goodness of God. He says, if any man, if he finds himself thinking that he is anything other than what he ought to be, he says, become a fool for Christ. Get back into the word, he says, and let God show you what a great dependency we are to have upon him. You know, God wants us to depend upon him. He wants us, when he says, cast your cares upon me, he's not just giving us a casual suggestion. He's giving us a command. He's telling us, I want you to depend upon me. When he says, I want you to abide in me and me in you, he's saying, I want you to be walking with me that way. I want you to give me your whole heart.
Amen.
He wants us to become wise in the commandments of God, looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
You know, he wants us to know and to trust that Jesus is in fact the author and the finisher of our faith. And not to look to the world for examples. And not to look to the world for patterns to follow. Because man does not naturally follow after Christ. So we ought not to blindly follow man. Not any man. That's why I tell you, you know, when we come in here on Sunday mornings, you need to have a Bible open up to see what the Word of God says. You need to break it open in the week to see what God says. You know, just see what he says. Don't trust me. Don't blindly follow after me. Only follow me if I'm following Christ.
Amen.
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 Amen. That's what God wants. And you won't know who I'm following in unless you're reading it for yourself.
Amen.
You won't know if I'm straying unless you're reading it for yourself.
Amen.
And you'll be able to say, now, Pastor, that didn't make much sense now. You didn't correctly connect the dots today. And because what my Bible tells me is this.
Amen.
And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to verify all things by what we know about the Word of God. Don't be deceived. Don't let me deceive you. Don't let anybody deceive you. Trust in God.
Amen.
Trust in God.
Amen.
Now, I want to show you this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, page 880 in your pew Bible. I want to show you. God tells us that there's going to be a lot of stuff coming along. Yes, there will. But he wants us to be careful that we don't put our trust in ourselves, in our stuff, in anything but our God.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Don't put any trust in any man. He said that's what can happen. But now you can sit down and talk to every believer from Abraham to present. And you won't find one who will be able to put any of these negative descriptions on our God, because none of them apply to him, because our God is faithful and our God is pure and our God is holy. So if I'm looking for someone that I ought to follow, then I think I ought to follow after holiness and not follow after any man who is subjected to any of these things. You know, I pray that God will keep me holy and pure to his word. But you know that I know that I'm just a man and I know what I'm capable of. And I know what all of you are capable of, but if we put our faith and trust in God, if we tell God, "Today, God, I want to follow you. Today, God, I want you to guide my feet. I want you to guide my eyes and my heart and everything that I come into contact with. I want it to be holy and pure. Don't let me trust in me, Lord. Let me trust in you. This is what I'm capable of. This is what I'm capable of." You know, Paul described himself. He says he was the worst of sinners because he knew that he was undeserving. He knew that he was on the deserving. But when he came to know Christ, he knew that Christ turned his life around.
Amen.
And still he said to the people, "Only follow me if I'm following Christ."
Amen.
Y'all get what God is saying? Don't put any trust in yourself. Don't. But verse 6 of that, he says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses." This is what happens. They will... People who are not dependent upon God, they're subjected to these people, and they can be corrupted by these people. He says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, now ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." That's a big statement right there. He's talking about people who are not putting their faith in the right person, in the person of God. He says they're always learning, always digging. But guess what? They never come to understand that they have to put all of their faith in God. I've talked to people before who are very wise, but not in the ways of God. I mean, people who can just go on and on and talk, but not in the things of God. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now he says, "Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also, they resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest or be made known unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, the manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconia, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." He says, you know, out of all that, I never put my trust in any man, but in the Lord. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I like verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where did they come from? From God. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If you are highlighted, there's one worthy of highlighting. God says, where do you put your faith? You put your faith in the holy scriptures of God. They're able to make you wise. You want to be wise? He says, get to know the Lord. Get to know the Lord. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You want to know. You want to know. You want to know our God. He says, get to know me in your word, in my word. Don't trust in yourself. Learn to trust in me. God wants us to have a non-negotiable faith in him. And you know, what I think that means, what it means to me is that nothing and no one, and not even we ourselves, should be able to shake or change our faith in this God. The only way that we can do that, the only way we can make such claims, is that we have to determine that we will not defile the temple of God. We won't. We won't defile it with anything. That we will trust his word, that we will be true to his word, and we will believe his word to be true, and that we will believe his word to be applicable to all things in our lives. That we can't say, this part doesn't belong to God, this part belongs to me. This part over here belongs to God. He'll be content with that. We can't do that. We can't segment it out. We got to be like Joshua, as he said to the children of Israel as they were about to cross. You do what you want. You serve the other gods if you want. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the God, the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. And we got to be the same way. Now, let's close this point out with Psalm 119. Psalm 119, page 477. God wants us to fall in love with him, guys. And I believe that when we fall in love with God, then we'll fall out of love with our own plans. We'll fall out of love with man. But we fall in love with him and with his word. And then we learn to meditate on his word. And his word will draw us into a closeness with him that nothing will be able to shake or disturb. Psalm 119 is credited to David. We're going to visit it twice today. But let's look at verse number 97 of Psalm 119 right now. Psalm 119, beginning at verse number 97, it says this. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. And I want you to see how God is saying, this is how his word changes us. This is how the truth of his word changes us. And this is how we learn to be dependent upon him. We meditate on his word. He says, his word is ever with us. You know what? It's not so far away from this that God says, thy word will I hide in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Here he says, he said, these commandments, this meditation, when I think about your word all day long, he said, it is through your word, Lord, that I become wiser than my enemies, because my enemies are focusing on the world and on themselves. He said, but your words are ever with me. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for their testimonies, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You know, he says, all the people who try to teach me things in the world, he says, I know I'm wiser than they are, because I'm not just trying to get book learning about reading, writing, and arithmetic. He said, but I want to get to know my God. He says, I'm wiser than they are because I know you. I know you. He says, I understand more than the ancients, more than the old folks, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I'm committed to you. He says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You see what it means to fall in love with God? Man, this guy David, he had it. Fell in love with him so much that he says, there are people who are smarter than me in some things. He said, but I know you. I know your word. I've learned to meditate in it. And he says, and everywhere I go, you are right there with me. Let no man deceive himself. Don't trust in yourself, but become a fool for Christ and get comfortable there. And then be a temple that's undefiled. We're a temple.
Amen.
Holy temple of God.
Amen.
Don't mess that up. So don't trust in yourself. Now how about this one? Don't trust in the world. Go back to your bulletin there. 1 Corinthians 3:19. He says, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The wisdom of this world, where everything is based on what we see, what we feel, what we handle, what we collect for ourselves, all of that is foolishness with God. That's why in his example to the believers, he says, if we build upon this foundation, wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn away and be gone.
Amen.
All that we see one day will pass away.
Amen.
God says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but he says, my words shall not pass away. So no matter how great the temptation, don't trust in the world. Don't trust in the world. Now, Paul quotes two passages here that I thought both of them were worthy of taking a quick look at. First, in verse number 19, he quotes Job chapter 5, verse 13. So let's look at that one first of all. Job 5, page 410 in your pew Bible. Job chapter number 5. And we'll begin at verse number 8 just to kind of get the whole idea of what was going on here in this passage that he picks out. In Job chapter 5, verse 8, he says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. Now he talks about the fact that we need to trust in God. And he says in verse 13, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. Now he talks about those who are putting their trust in the world. He said those who think they're wise have worldly wisdom. He says for them the daytime is like darkness. And he said they grope in the noonday as they do in the night. In other words, they are lost, guys. They are without Christ. They are following after their own way. He says, so the poor, but he saveth, verse 18, let's read that one again. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. Where shall we put our trust? In our God. And in verse number 90, he quotes Psalm 94. Let's look there to your right just a little bit. Psalm 94, page 465 in your pew Bible. Psalm 94, just a few verses starting at verse number 8 this time. Psalm 94, Paul quotes as well. Verse number 8 says this, understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Now he's talking about the power of our God here. And he that chasteneth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. He's saying, you know what? Man has a tendency to want to follow after himself.
Amen.
But the wise man will follow after God.
Amen.
The wise man will follow after God. Worldly wisdom says either there is no God, or there are many gods, or there are many ways to God, or we are our own God. Whatever the message, they are wrong. They're wrong. Except they are willing to declare that there is but one God, and Jesus Christ is his only begotten Son. Do you know when you stop and you look at the religions of the world today, that is when you figure out that most of them were started because they refused to really follow after God. They thought it impossible that one God and one Son, Jesus Christ, could be the only way that we could be with him one day. They thought that's impossible. And they formed many other religions that all strayed away from this one truth. There are either many gods, there are many ways to God, we are our own God, but all these messages are wrong. All of these messages say you can depend upon the world or yourself. You could have Jesus and, you could have God and, but the Bible says it is God and it is God alone.
Amen.
We can't trust in this world. We can't. And you know, all of these religions, all of these messages, they're all going to figure it out one day. Because God has never been pleased when his people choose any way but his way. He is a jealous God. He's jealous because he's established for us the right way and the wrong way. And he will never be pleased until his people choose the right way. Now I want to show you how unpleased God is when his people choose the wrong way. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, page 517 in your pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse number 8. And if you don't see this as a warning not to trust in the world, then I don't know what would be such a warning for you. He says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." And he's talking about those who collect stuff. He says, "Woe to them that buy house after house and land after land, you know, until there's no more land to buy." He says, "Woe unto them." You know why? Because they're trusting in their stuff. He says, "Watch out." He says, "In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant." He says, "What are they going to gain you?" He says, "Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath or one batch of wine, and the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah." He says, should it be a massive collection, but it's going to be a small amount. He says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp, and the viol, the tambourine, and the pipe, and wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands." In other words, they're trusting in the world, themselves, their stuff. He says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge." And I want you guys to see that if you were to consistently read the word of God, every time God says there's a penalty for his people, it's because they have no knowledge of him. They have no knowledge of him. He says, they are in captivity because they have no knowledge. In America today, there are a lot of people in spiritual captivity because they have no knowledge of who Jesus is. They're in prison. And we see what happens, the workings of these people in this spiritual captivity. He says, because they have no knowledge, verse number 13, he says, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. In other words, guys, they're not hungry for the word of God. They're hungry, but not for the word of God. They're thirsty, but not for the word of God. He says, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Wow. You want to trust in the world? He says, all those who trust in the world, he says, hell is big, and the party will be, and the party going there will be great. He says, hell has enlarged itself, opened her mouth without measure. He says, and all that they gloried in, all of their stuff, their pomp, their ceremony, all that stuff that they rejoiced in, he says, is all going to fall and find itself in hell. He says, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. In other words, the word of God will still stand. Even when all of this is happening, even as they're suffering this great destruction, it is going to be the word of God that is going to stand. He says, and then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. What he's saying there is those who are just going after sinful things. He said, and sin as it were a cart rope, just with no regard for right and for wrong. He said, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. He says, woe unto them. Woe unto them, guys. If I could paraphrase that for you, I'd do it this way. He says, woe unto them to shake their finger in the face of God and say, if there is a God, let him show himself up. We ain't doing what we're supposed to, not according to the Bible. So let him come and stop us if he wants to. Where is he? Let the counsel of the Holy One draw near and come. Let him come on, that we may know that he really is God. He says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. He says, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and this is the connection, God makes a connection for us again, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Because they have no knowledge. No knowledge of who God is. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Temple, be not deceived. Temple, be not deceived. The lesson for us is this. Love not the world. Trust not the world. It leads only to destruction. The wisdom of the world can be seen through many illustrations in the Bible, I think. You think about it this way. One that we won't look at, but I just thought I'd throw out there to you. Abraham's nephew, Lot. He witnessed the Lord's blessings on their lives because of Abraham's dependency upon God. But the Bible tells us in the account of Abraham and Lot that there was a day when Abraham and Lot divided their flocks because they were so many. And they got to choose out which lands they would graze their animals on. And the Bible says that it was Lot that chose those areas that were closest to Sodom and Gomorrah. Not only did he choose those lots, but the Bible tells us that he also, when he set up his tent, because he was because he had a lack of knowledge, I believe, because he did not have a heart relationship with the Lord as Abraham did. When he set up his tent, rather than to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," the Bible says he instead, he when he set up his tent, he set his tent up so that when it opened, when the flap opened, that he could look right down at Sodom and Gomorrah. Because this man, he didn't have a dependency upon God, and he wasn't trusting in God. He saw there were a bunch of people down there, and he wanted to be a part of that. And the Bible tells us that soon after that, you know, not only was his tent facing the world so he could see what was happening over there, it wasn't long before that was the only channel that old Lot was looking at on his little TV. You know, he kept it there. And the Bible tells us that he got a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer. You know, he was picking up that tent, following, you know, maybe he had a great excuse that the animals were eating all the grass in this spot and they need to graze a different spot. But the Bible tells us that Lot kept moving that tent. And as he kept moving that tent, every time he moved it, no matter where he moved it, he was facing that little city so he could see him. Before long, the Bible tells us he was sitting there right at the gate. He had a brand new appetite. He had an appetite for the world. He had stopped trusting in God altogether when he crept up on the world. It moved in on him, and it took over. It took over. You know what? God says no. God was not pleased with what Lot did there. God is not pleased when you and I stray away from it, from his word. He wants us to make a resolve that we will follow him and that we will stick with it. Let no man deceive himself, which means don't even try to deceive ourselves. Don't say that we have no sin. Don't say that it's not possible that we could find ourselves going astray. But what we ought to say is this: God, I woke up today and said, today is the day that I'm going to bear the cross of Christ. Amen. Every single day we have to make that resolve. I'm going to bear the cross of Christ today. That I'm going to follow after him. I've decided that I'm going to follow him without question. So now we look at, I want to show you something. Look at 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Page 900 in your pew Bibles. 1 John chapter number 2. We're going to focus on start reading at verse number 12. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12, page 900 in the pew Bible. God says we have to make a resolve that we're going to follow after him, and we got to say that we're going to stick to it no matter what. So he talks in 1 John chapter 2. He shows us, speaks to us as at different stages of our spiritual growth. And he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, he says, "I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." He says, "And I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Now he's talking to us, and he repeats for our learning that he's talking to the little ones, the ones who are young in their faith. He's talking to the fathers, the ones who are more mature in their faith. He's talking to the young men, the ones who are new, yet they are growing and learning in their faith. Now, what does he say to all three groups? So that we might know that it is our responsibility to guard this temple that God has given us, that where his spirit dwells. He says in verse number 15, here's the message for all of us. Love not the world. He says there's an opportunity for the young to love the world. There's an opportunity for the young Christians to love the world. There's an opportunity for the older Christians to find themselves in love with the world. But he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, let no man deceive you. Better still, do not deceive yourself. The temple of God is to be holy.
Amen.
Don't defile it.
Amen.
You know what? You know what? You know what guards me? And I don't have any problems telling you this. I am afraid of messing up God's reputation.
Amen.
Scares me to death. Scares me to death. It's his temple. I gave it to him. I gotta let him keep it. He says, don't mess it up.
Amen.
Or God will destroy you. Build upon the foundation. And God will reward you. No regrets. No regrets. I told you we were going to visit David again in Psalm 19. Let's close out there. In Psalm 119, page 476 this time. Our brother David declared that he would follow God. No matter what. That's what I got out of it when I read it. That David said, I'm going to follow God no matter what. Psalm 119, beginning at verse number 57. And I think that we need the same resolve. I'm not going to let anybody deceive me. I'm not going to give up on the promise that I've made to God. And I'm going to trust that he's not going to give up on me. And I think that we got to do it like David did it. Look how he did it. He says, talking to the Lord, he says, Thou art my portion. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I will keep thy words. I made a commitment. He said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. David was saying, I prayed. I prayed and I prayed, Lord, with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony. Boy, David was a king. He said, I thought about what I could do on my own right. I look back on my own life at how I'd handle things on my own. He says, and my feet turned unto your testimony, who you are.
Amen.
He said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. How can I be sure that I won't defile the temple? How can I be sure that I will not be deceived? I got to pray and call out to the Lord with my whole heart. Teach me thy statutes. You teach me, Lord. Show me how to walk in your way. Don't trust in you. Don't trust in me. Don't trust in the world. Trust in the master builder and build upon his foundation. His foundation, Jesus, Jesus only, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I bless your name today. I pray that each one of us might understand that you have indeed given the believer the awesome opportunity to have the Spirit of God to dwell inside of us. Lord, I pray that we might not make a light thing out of the holiness that you require of us. I pray, Lord, that you would convict us when we do anything that goes against your plan and your way. Let your word truly be that lamp unto our feet and that light unto our pathway. Let us be like David, Lord. Let us pray and yearn to be ever closer to you, to know more about you, to let your way be the way that leads us. Lord, I pray that we might consider our own way, where we would be if we were without Christ. And then, Lord, let us run to the cross of Christ, I pray, every single day. Help us to take up our cross and follow after you and trust you, Lord, above all things, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.